it's early, it's May, but you've got a couple that we look at and go, again, like Tombstone, I'll see you soon. You got a fight coming, and it might be coming in September or April or October here, Jensen. What do you like for a possible postseason preview?
Yeah, a couple in the National League and two really good series here. The Braves return home after a big West Coast swing, and they welcome in one of the hottest teams in all of baseball, and that's the Chicago Cubs. Also, the San Diego Padres will travel to Milwaukee to take on the Brew Crew, who are now rolling and I think have kind of weathered some of the initial injuries to Jackson Churio. They hope to get Christian Yelich back sooner than later. One play already in this series opener, and it is not only on the pitching matchup in this Cubs and Braves tilt, but also some prowess from the Atlanta Braves. They are your league leaders as far as covering the run line in the major leagues this year, Dave. They are 28-13. And by contrast, Chicago is a road team, just 7-11 when they've been catching a run and a half or have been laying the run and a half. So I played an alternate run line, and just a teaching point here, Dave, there are people that are a little leery of laying the run and a half for home teams, because if you have that lead, you know, and it's only by one heading into the ninth, of course, you only get the guaranteed 8 innings of at bats there. So I usually like to go the alternate run line if I'm liking where the home side is. And tonight we kind of get a little 2-for-1 special here. The Braves on the alternate run line -1 are still a plus money price at +$1.10 on DraftKings. So I really like a little bang for the buck there. We use the analogy, it's like the draw no bet in soccer, where if you win, you know, you're going to end up being able to take that profit. If you just win by the one run here, then you get your money back. So I like the chance for plus money here, two bites at the apple. But that certainly stuck out to me as an actionable spot here with the Braves back at home being as elite as they are covering the run line. So Braves -1 against the Cubs at +$1.10 on DraftKings, first official play in pocket tonight.
You mentioned some of those run lines here, Jensen, and this might be surprising or not, depending on the start that they've had, but a little bit better under Don Mattingly as of late. But the Phillies, not great so far covering run lines, are going to take on the Red Sox today.
Especially when they're on the road. And the graphic that you'll see for those of you watching YouTube TV, FanDuel Sports Network, Rogers Sportsnet north of the border, when you look at the Phillies, as a road team, 4-13 covering the run line. That is the worst mark in Major League Baseball. They are in Boston to take on the Red Sox later tonight. That pitching matchup, it is Zach Wheeler for the Phillies. Red Sox still have yet to name a starter, so we'll see what happens there. And ironically, the Phillies are going to be laying the run and a half plus $1.13. So it might be advantageous on the Red Sox side there. If you want to go there, we'll see what their pitching matchup is. By contrast, Dave, you know, the Marlins were one of the teams we looked at the beginning of the year. We're like, man, what momentum they had from last year. Could they continue it into this year? Well, how about when you're looking for totals, and especially as a road team, this has been an actionable spot, even after a day off as well. The Marlins are 10-3-2 to the over as a road team. That is the best mark in Major League Baseball. Couple that with a day off, which they had yesterday, they are a perfect 4-0 to the over. They're in Minneapolis to take on the Twins tonight. And that total right now for Yuri Perez against Bailey Ober is a flat 9. So we might see some offensive outbursts. If you just want to tail it blindly, the Marlins have come to play, and those games have been perfect to the over when they've had a day of rest, as that situation presents itself tonight.
You know, the same record. We got a 3-way tie right now in the National League East with the Phillies, the Marlins, and the Nationals. And right now, the Phillies have the worst run differential of those three teams at -32. The Nationals are second, ironically, at -13. And the reason why I bring that up is the Marlins actually have the best out of those three at -3. So they're almost right there at level par. And for a team three games under, they might be a little bit better than the record indicates. The reason why I bring that up, I found the Marlins around 10-1 to make the postseason. Haven't dipped my toe in those waters yet for the Fighting Fish, but I kind of like their makeup, Jensen. Might be getting invested in that as you look at the landscape in the National League. How about some hitters specifically on Tuesdays? For whatever reason, Jensen, this seems to be their day of the week to shine.
And take it or leave it, right? So I mentioned that Marlins and Twins game. How about targeting one of the hottest hitters for Minnesota? That's Byron Buxton. And in five Tuesday contests, he has five homers, including eight runs batted in to go with a 360 batting average. So it might be a player prop that you want to look at. I know it's a tough matchup. Yuri Perez starting there for the Marlins. But day of the week, make it a Tuesday. It has been Byron Buxton's day with the performance that he's put up. Ellie De La Cruz of the Cincinnati Reds has had a phenomenal year, Dave, and Tuesdays have been one of his more productive days, too. Four homers, 11 runs driven in six Tuesday contests, batting .308. Mentioned the San Diego Padres headed to Milwaukee to take on the Brewers. That pitching matchup, again, Matt Waldron against Brandon Sproat, but we're targeting Xander Bogaerts, who has been very good on these Tuesday contests. .348, three homers, eight ribbies in six games. But Mauricio Dubon, about .476 with four doubles in six games. So if you're looking for a hits, runs, RBI category here, these four guys might be in some actionable spots for you, just knowing what they've done on this day of the week thus far.
Okay. If I could approach the bench counselor and make a case, I'd like to argue Exhibit A. I get it. Shohei Ohtani is minus .330 to win the MVP in the National League. And I know somebody's going to say, objection, unless your client can hit and pitch, then we're going to throw this out as argumentative. But can we make a case for Ellie De La Cruz? Because as you mentioned here, with not just what he's doing on Tuesdays, but it is a fantastic year that he's off to. And he's one of those guys, those rare breeds. And I know Shohei can steal bags too. But if he hits for power, if he hits for average, and he steals a ton of bags, at 22-1, could we at least make the case that that number is too long and that there is value in that number today as we sit here in mid-May, Counselor?
100%. Only Matt Olson right now as we enter play today, Dave, has a higher offensive wins above replacement at 2.4 than Ellie De La Cruz does at 2.1. And food for thought here, if finding Annie Pajes, National League MVP market too, because he's tied with Ellie.
Whoa.
Those three are the only offensive players in the National League to have at least 2.1 wins above replacement in that regard. So listen, Max Muncy has been, it's crazy to say that A, Shohei Ohtani's in a prolonged slump. B, you got other guys you would want to pivot to, even though that MVP number has implied the dominance he's had on the mound. Think of that, Dave, at the beginning of the year. If I were to tell you that you have to lay almost $3.50 for a Shohei Ohtani MVP market and his offense has been this bad, you would have said, well, you got to be kidding. He must be absolutely flat out unhittable on the mound. And for many of his outings, he has been. But I'm with you. I think that's too long for Ellie. Absolutely a great idea for some pizza money investment there. And I would say Matt Olson too. You know, the narrative is going to be, hey, if Atlanta's the best team at the end of the year, do they have the overall best, most impactful player? I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how voters chop that up between what Ohtani has done offensively and on the mound versus if Matt Olson continues this torrid pace and start to 2026.
Francisco Lindor, who's right now just doesn't play because he's injured, he's 120-1 to win the MVP. I don't know why anybody would make that wager. Andy Páez, as you mentioned, is also 120-1, a guy who's playing and playing quite well for the Dodgers. Although that name is stricken in my household. I'm the only one in my household. So sometimes in vain, I'll just yell, Andy Páez, the greatest catch in the history of the World Series, arguably, that stole a lot of money from yours truly sitting on that Toronto Blue Jays ticket. But I will one day get over it, just not today.